And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
I notice with you an unusual request from a rather obscure man. This man was named Agur. He was the son of Jacob. And really, as far as his genealogy, as far as his background is concerned, that's just about all that we know. But in this 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs, there are a number of words that he gives, and there are some requests that he makes. The word Agur means a gatherer or collector of wise sayings. That's the meaning of his name. And as you read in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, you'll find that there's not a lot said, volume-wise, but in just a few compact, concise sentences, there's a lot mentioned. And so I want to think with you about this man who made an unusual request. He asked of the Lord something that most of us don't ask. Or at least I don't think we do. In this prayer, in this petition that he made to the Lord, he said, "Lord, give me neither riches or poverty, but feed me with food that is needful or convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain." Now in that prayer, in that petition, that request that this man Agur made to God, he said, "Now Lord, this is what I want. I don't want you to make me a rich man. And I don't want to be obsessed with poverty either. I just want something that's best for me, that's needful, as Scripture says, or convenient." Some translations translate it, "food that is necessary." Other translations translate it, "food that is convenient are needful." But just think about that prayer for a moment with me. What about your prayers? What if our prayers were written down and they were preserved, and then some time up in the future these prayers were published? As folks looked at them, I wonder what they'd be saying about them. Now there was something about this prayer, this request of this man, we know hardly anything about, that the Lord saw fit to be a part of His inspired Word. And I'm sure the reason He did is because He took this man out of relatively speaking obscurity and gave us something that this man said, that even though it isn't very much, it's worthy to live because of the content of what is there stated. It's probably good that most of our prayers are only heard of the Lord, because the Lord is merciful and wise and keeps our secrets. There are things I'm sure that all of us say to God that we wouldn't dare to say to any other human being upon this earth. 1 Peter 3:12, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against all of them that do evil." And so there are things that we would say to God, there are requests that we'd make of Him, and there are confessions that we'd make to Him that we wouldn't make to any single living solitary soul. And And that's the way it ought to be. You remember Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you pray, go into your closet and there close the door, and then pray to God. Your Father who sees in secret will hear you and will bless you. Jesus said we need to have a place, prayer. Call it a prayer closet or whatever you want to call it. He was simply saying, get away from all the hustle and bustle and all the activity. Get alone by yourself and there pour out your heart to God. I don't know where Agur was when he gave this prayer. I don't know all the circumstances back of what motivated him to say it. But at least we do know that God wanted us to know what He said. And so the Lord contained it in His Word. I want us to notice this prayer. Three things concerning it. Very brief one. And yet even in all of its brevity, it says so much. As I've already stated, most of our prayers that we pray are heard only by the Lord. Now we pray publicly in our worship assemblies. But most of our prayers and most of our prayer lives confined just to us and God. And that's the way it ought to be. And I think it quite significant that the Lord chooses to give us a prayer request from a man that's not famous, that's not popular, a man that's so unknown. Now, if it had been written by or stated by some man that was world-renowned, folks would have perked up their ears probably to listen. But it's written by a person or from a person, as we've stated already and emphasized, that would be considered among the nobodies of life. Not such an outstanding, significant person. But the Lord chooses this man's prayer to let it live for all of us. And the first thing is, He mentions that one could be too rich. Give me neither riches nor poverty. Now, not many people pray that kind of prayer. I don't believe. I don't know all of the prayers you pray and the content of them. And I don't know that about any single soul except myself. But I don't think many of us pray that kind of prayer. You just think about yourself for a moment. Have you ever asked God not to make you rich or to give you riches? I doubt probably that many of us have many times. I doubt that many other people have either. But this man did. He said, now Lord, don't give me riches. He doesn't desire to be wealthy. Now, I know we have a problem of definition. I know most of us would say, well, we're not rich. But most of the world would consider us rich. In the Orient and other parts of the world, it's generally thought that Americans are rich. It's the land flowing with the proverbial milk and honey. Tourists say that some parts of the world, two things typify Americans. That some of our foreign neighbors think of us in two ways. One of them's not complimentary, the other probably is. But they think of us as rich. And don't get too upset for me using the word stupid. rich and stupid. That's the idea of a lot of the world about America. They think we've got all kinds of money, and they think we don't care how we use it because we spend it as if it were going out of style and as if the well would never run dry and are not conservative and so forth, and that's the reason they use the designation that we're rich. We're also rather stupid to go along with it. And I'm not sure that they don't have a case. But this man Agur did not want to be rich. The obligations of the rich are different. Their obligations, responsibilities due to one's position. One on less income often could do very well and could do a lot better. We're not suggesting that all wealth is bad. To be able to do things creditable is good. And the person becomes poor that deals with a slack hand. So, there are many good benefits that can come from riches without question. There are a lot of people that the Lord's blessed in a great way. They not only are a blessing while they live with what they have, but also make good plans for marvelous things with what remains. And certainly that's marvelous and that's great. But there's some dangers to possessing wealth. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, Paul said, "They that would be rich fall into many snares and temptations." It seems with the increase in wealth that oftentimes there are the increase in temptations that come. There was laid one morning on a minister's desk a little folded paper containing the words, "Your prayers are needed, and the prayers of this congregation are requested for a man who is growing rich." And I'm sure that was a valid request, a needed request. But Agur said, "Lord, I don't want to be rich." He said, "Lest I be full, have all that I want and need, and lest I deny the Lord, lest I get to thinking, why do I need God? I have everything else. I have all of these things. And why do I need the Lord?" You see, it's easy. It's easy when a person has so much. In fact, historically, as well as during the time of Jesus and since, the people who were attracted to Christianity were not the highly affluent. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "Not many mighty are called. Not many great, ranking, mighty men of this world are called. Not because God's not interested in them, but because, generally speaking, they do not have a sense of need. And so those on the highest level generally are not those who attracted to Christianity. There are some exceptions, of course. But by and large, that's the case. And neither are those, generally speaking, on the lowest level. It's generally those who are the in-between. And somehow or other, it seems the middle class, and maybe we've edged to some degree to the upper middle, that seems to more often constitute the church. I wish we could bridge that gap, that chasm, in both of these areas, but we haven't been able to do so, generally speaking. I don't think it's a fault on our part so much because, as I've mentioned to you, you study even in the time of Jesus and Bible days, and that generally was the way things were at that time also. In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 12, the abundance of a rich man's possessions will not suffer him to sleep. Take a person that has so much of this world's goods. It may be that he will think he doesn't need God. He'll be full and deny the Lord. Or it may be that he gets so worried about losing what he possesses. You know, some people's blood pressure goes up and down with the stock market. It really does. They either feel pretty good physically if things are going great, but if it isn't, if Wall Street has a bad day, then they don't feel so well. I think that's what Ecclesiastes writer is saying, that a rich man's possessions will not permit him to sleep because he's worried about what's going to take place of his investments. And those who do not have investments, and I'm not discounting these, do not worry about what the percentage is going to be and what the rise and fall is going to be. So built in the very nature of it, riches can certainly be a blessing, but they can also be a curse. And I think that's what Agur, this man, knew and believed when he said, "Now, Lord, do not make me rich." Now, many of us pray that kind of prayer. Secondly, he said, "Do not give me poverty. Don't make me just one possessed with poverty, poor." Because there are a number of reasons he doesn't want the fear of want ever in sight. Poverty oftentimes tends to honest labor. It doesn't necessarily have to follow, but it can. Ecclesiastes 5:12, the remainder of that verse. "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he little or much." And then we've already quoted to you the last part of that verse. "But the abundance of a rich man's possessions will not permit him or suffer him to sleep." The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he little or much. Marvelous statement. I remember some time ago a dad, who said to me about his son. He said, "I'd rather my boy work." It was during the summer time when school was out. He said, "I'd rather him work for the road department, cutting the bushes along the road." You know, some of these roads, the gravel roads especially, have to be cut out along the sides of the road, or they'll almost, bushes and such, lap over the road. He said, "I'd rather him have a job cutting out those bushes along the side of the road for 50 cents an hour than to be doing nothing." Isn't he right? Isn't that correct? That a person needs to be doing something, and he said, "I want him to be busy, even if the amount of money is not very much." And I know that's way below minimum wage. Where, but Agur is saying here, "Now, Lord, don't make me so poor that I would be a thief, that I would steal." Because he said, "I could get in such a circumstance and I could take that which did not belong to me. I don't want to be so poor that I'd be inclined, tempted to steal." Now, I guess someone could say, well, nothing ought to motivate a person to take what didn't belong to him, but I'm sure we don't know what a man might be driven to in some extenuating circumstances. That's probably what this man was thinking. I don't want to be in poverty lest I steal. Lest I deny you. Lest I take the name of my God in vain. He's simply saying, Lord, don't make me in such a position that I may turn out to be bitter. I may just let things work on me and cause me to be bitter and to get sour and to get down on life. You see, some people let themselves get bitter and sour and calloused over the hard knocks and the difficulties of life. Not any question about that. And he said, now, Lord, I want to be sure that I don't steal, that I don't deny you, that I don't take your name in vain, because I get in such a circumstance of want or need. There's not any question but that when there are difficult circumstances in the lives of people, that the crime rate escalates. Unemployment. Not any question, but unemployment brings on, or eventually brings on, thievery in many respects. Oh, I know you can say, now there are a lot of folks, if they didn't have a job for months and months and months, they'd never steal. I know that's true. I know that's true. But that isn't true of our society generally, because the facts prove otherwise. And even this godly religious man, Agur, says, Lord, don't make me so poor in such a position of want that I might steal, lest I be poor and steal. Now, whether he would or not, he probably didn't know. But he said, I don't want to be placed in that circumstance. I don't want to try to take a shortcut for a hopeless situation. And I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be bitter. But he said, thirdly and finally, give me the thing that's desired, the thing that is needful, the thing that is best for me. I want to be in between. I don't want to be a rich man. And I don't want to be the lowest of poor. He said, I want to be in between the two. I want to have things that are needful and best. But back to that word convenient he uses, that's convenient for me. I want to somehow be in the in-between. That I'm not so rich that I let myself get haughty and I think I don't need the Lord, and I deny the Lord because I think I have everything made. Neither do I want to be so poor that it causes me to turn sour and bitter and do the thing that I should not do. I want somehow to be in between. That's, Lord, what I want to be in my life. That's a noble request, isn't it? Noble. As I mentioned to you in the outset, I think most of us, about like Tevye in the musical Fiddler on the Roof. You remember, it's about a family, particularly a little village in Russia of Jews, facing a lot of persecution at the hand of the Tsars. And The lead character in it, Tevi, sings that song, "If I Were a Rich Man." What he'd do? If I were a rich man. And he prays and he wants riches. He's very poor, very much in need. And he says, "Lord, I know it isn't any disgrace to be a poor man." But he says, "It's not such a great honor either." And then he goes into that song, "If I were a rich man, this is what I'd do, or that's what I'd do." Beautiful song, has a great message. Not biblical, but it has a message that's not foreign from Scripture teaching, really. And it's somewhat like this man Agur here in Proverbs 30, who says, "Lord, don't make me rich and don't make me poor, but just supply me the things that are needful and the things that are best, the things that are convenient." And isn't that the way it is with, should be with all of us? We have the things we need. We have bread enough and to spare, and we're blessed immensely. And we can know as Christians that God takes care of His children. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." If you read the verses before that verse, he was talking about material things. Psalm 37:25. David's words, "I was young and now am old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." An assurance that God provides. He doesn't make us rich. He doesn't cause us to be destitute. But with most of us, somewhere in between. And that's where this great man of God that the Lord chose to leave for eternity, his prayer, wanted to be. And I believe the reason the Lord gave us in His Word this beautiful petition is because it was worthy of standing through the centuries. Because it had a message, an attitude that all of us need to have. Lord, may I be in such a position that won't be inclined to deny You and to be so haughty. I won't be in a position to be bitter, but somehow or other in between. And that I can know that the world is beautiful and people are marvelous and that God is good. And that's enough. If you're not a Christian tonight, we would urge you to become one. Surrender your life in obedience to the Lord by believing in Jesus with all of your heart, repenting of every sin and confessing that marvelous name that is a name above every name, and then being baptized for the remission of sins to rise and walk in the newness of life.